This is a gospel preaching by David Hill of Norwich. The scripture reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 18.
Luke chapter 18, and we'll read from verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him, and when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Very simple passage. Very well known passage. But nevertheless, how wonderful what God can communicate in just a few words. You know, earlier this afternoon, just thinking about this, I was going to take up those words in 1 Timothy, you know, those words of Paul when he could say, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Just think of it, what, 9, 10 words? Haven't counted them. Very few words. And yet in those simple words we have, we might say, the whole of the gospel presented. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It speaks of the one who came. It speaks of a place to which he came, and it speaks of the reason for which he came. Yeah. I was in thinking of that this afternoon, that one mind went to this chapter, and I thought, well, really, we have the same picture here. And I want to speak of the one who came, the wonder, the majesty, the glory of the person, the wonder of the one who came. Yes. Into this world to save sinners, but into Jericho. For the sake of this man. Think of it. The one who came. It says, it came to pass as he was come nigh to Jericho. As Jesus came nigh to Jericho. Do we understand, do we know, do we appreciate properly the wonder of those words? That Jesus should come nigh to Jericho. To be there involved in leaving the heights of glory from which he came. Mm-hmm. Think of him as the creator of all things. He created Jericho. He created the mountains. He created the hills. He created all things. Yet he came into his own creation.
Yes.
The majesty, the wonder of the creator coming into this world.
Amen.
I often think and refer to Solomon, you know, as something that constantly causes me to wonder at the incarnation. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, he could say, will God in very deed dwell with man? The heaven of heavens cannot contain him. How much less the house that I have built. Will God in very deed dwell with men? The heaven of heavens cannot contain him. But the manger contained him. Mm-hmm. The swaddling bands contained him. Oh, think of the wonder of that moment when he was born in Bethlehem. If he had not been born in Bethlehem, he could never have come to Jericho. He could never have gone about the cities. He could never have been moving here, announcing the glad tidings. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings of peace. What wonderful glad tidings he brought as he came into this world. And as he walked through Jericho, particularly as we see in this case. And I want to just remind your hearts of the wonder of the man who came. Do you know, in relation to creation, there's that little, we might say, throwaway remark in Genesis chapter 1. He made the stars also.
Yes.
Simple word, isn't it? Mm. He made the stars also. Scientists will tell us, astrologers will tell us, there's one star that is vast. So vast that if you were to empty it, if you were to excavate it and clear the middle of it, you could put the sun in the centre and the earth would be able to rotate on its axis around the sun within the diameter of that star. He made the stars also. Mm-hmm. That's just one. And yet so vast, so marvellous, so magnificent. The wonder, the greatness of his creation. But he never created all things for the stars. He created all things for men. The wonder of the fact that he came here, seeking. We get it in the next chapter, isn't it? Mm. He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. Think again, and I love to think of Job, you know, if we think of the wonder of the stars above, we think of that little word, and again, we might almost say it's a throwaway remark. God says to Job, gavest thou the goodly wings to the peacock? Think of the intricacy of that design of that wing. There are different colour pigments and they flow up that central stem. And they go out along the little hairs or whatever the technical name is for them. And the different pigments travel the same route, the same pipe as it were, and yet the different colours stop at different places. And they stop in such a way as to give that beautiful multi-eyed effect on the peacock's tail. Mm. Gazest thou the goodly wings of the peacock? Job, who are you to justify or seek to justify yourself? What can we say in relation to the creation of God? Here is the one who created all things, and he has come to Jericho. I just want to say one other thing. We came down here on the M25. There was a bit of rain, quite a lot of rain. We were all right until we got to the M25, and then almost immediately you couldn't see the lines of the lanes. The spray, the mist, tremendous. It says again in Job, he balances the clouds. Mm. Have you ever thought 1 cubic millimeter of water is 1 gram? If just 10 millimeters of rain fall over a square meter, you have 10 kilograms of weight. Mm. And you think of that rain on Wednesday or Thursday, whenever it was. Vast area. And that rain just came down so quickly, and we had certainly more than 10 millimetres. He balances the clouds. Prior to that rain falling, it was up there. It was in the cloud. And he balanced that cloud. Tons, many, many tons of water. And it's above our heads. And he balances it. And he brings it along. And he'll let it drop where he wants. He created and he sustains, he maintains the whole of creation.
Yes.
And that this blessed one came to Jericho. The wonder, I say again, the wonder of the fact of man who came to Jericho. Christ Jesus came into this world. Tells us who came. It tells us where he came. Timothy, he came into the world. In the chapter we've read, he came to Jericho. It doesn't matter. It's the same place. Jericho was a city under a curse, and this world is a world under the curse. God's judgment has been suspended, but God's judgment has been announced. God is going to judge this world. And we're waiting that day. We had a touch on it this afternoon in Revelation 5. There is coming that day when God will judge this world. He will judge it in righteousness. He will not judge it as man judges it, but he will judge it in righteousness. The world is under a curse. And he came. He came to Bethlehem. He was born a king, but not born as a king. He was brought up in poverty. You know, we've got these movements of the immigrants at the moment, the refugees that are moving across Europe, and we wonder that, you know, it's a wonderful thing to think of the Lord entering into every circumstance of human life. And the Lord started his life as a refugee. They took him to Egypt. He knew what it was. He felt what it was to come to his own and his own received him not. He felt what it was to be rejected by his own people and his own city, the very place where he was brought up. They would take him to the brow of the hill and they would cuss him for. He knew what he was coming to, and he came to a place where he was not wanted and where he was hated and rejected. But nevertheless he came. Why did he come? We might say uninvited. He came because he was sent by his Father. And I go again to the next chapter and I think of those wonderful words. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. All the wonder of those words.
Amen.
Nothing is too much trouble. We touched on it yesterday. Well, perhaps we didn't touch on it enough. I don't know. But until he find it. Think of those words. Until he find it. That shepherd going out. And here is the Saviour walking through this earth. And there was a time when he needs to go through Samaria. Why? There was a soul there by the well. Overwhelmed with a sense of sin and guilt, and he convicts her of guilt and he brought her the blessing. I think of that scene, we were reading it in Norwich last week, that wonderful picture. He went to Gadara. There was a demon possessed man, wasn't it? And he went over the sea and he went to reach that one man, and he reached that one man and he brought him to himself. Nobody else wanted him. And he came back. One man, one soul. But to the Lord it was worth it.
Yes.
He went and sought until he found it.
Amen.
And what we have in this chapter is that when he came to Jericho, there was a certain man sat by the wayside begging. A blind man. He could not see. He wasn't unaware of what was happening around him. And the reason I turned over to this rather than Timothy was thinking of what we had on Thursday night. The God of this world has blinded the eyes of those that believe not. The God of this world has blinded the eyes of those that believe not. Here was a man who's blind and he knew it. And we're living in a world where people are blind and they don't know it. John 9, he says he came that the blind might see, but those that see might be made blind. Think of the wonderful grace of the Lord then coming to Jericho. And he comes, I say, for this one man. You might say, well, there's Zacchaeus as well. But nevertheless, we have this wonderful picture of the Lord moving through this scene in order to come to this man. One who was, in our language we might say today, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. There was one who needed blessing, there was one who desired that blessing, and he came where he was. The blessing the man desired was sight, as we see later on. But nevertheless, he came where he was. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to thee. And if there was anything in this heart, the heart of this man after God, then the Lord would draw near. And I believe there was something in the heart of this man. He lived in a city where the people were uninterested in the Lord. And I say that because they told him to keep quiet. They wanted to see some miracle, they wanted to see some wonder. And they're indifferent to this man. You know, that is the world in which we live, isn't it? Just keep quiet. Don't bother about these things. But he was a man with a need, and the Lord had drawn near to meet that need. Wonderful grace. And the world would blot him out, and the world would shut him out. Keep quiet. He asked what it meant. Jesus of Nazareth. I believe there was a work in this man's soul beforehand, because there must have been. They say, Jesus of Nazareth, draw passers by. And he shouts out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. If he'd never heard of Jesus, if he had never heard of the power that was available in this blessed man, he would never have cried out in this way. He cried out in this way because he had some knowledge that Christ was able to save him. Christ was able to meet his need. And so he cries out, have mercy on me. There's not a soul in this world that the need Christ cannot meet. He can meet every need.
Yes.
The question is, are we conscious? Are we aware that we have a need? There's another thing here, and I want to just mention this very simply. There's a passing opportunity. He only once came to Jericho, and this was the only time that this man had this opportunity to cry out for mercy. And the Lord only once came into this world. He's coming again, but he's not coming again in grace. He's going to come again in judgment. Solemn moment when he judges this world. And as you go through Revelations 6, 7, 8, you see some of the awful judgments upon this world. But this man had this one opportunity, a passing opportunity. In a moment it would be gone, but he sees the moment that was available to him.
Yes.
He sees that moment and he says, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by, Jesus, thou son of David. But to the world, he's Jesus of Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Jesus, thou son of David. Touched on it this afternoon. The root of David. The power, the majesty, the authority, the kingdom was his. Jesus, thou son of David. There was a man with faith. And he responded and he believed. And he believed that the Lord was able to meet his need. Cries. Marvellous to think that he cried. Marvellous to think, I think, that the Lord heard and the Lord obeyed. Just think for a moment of that. He is the one whom the angels worship. He is the one whom the angels obey. And yet as a man here, he stopped at the cry of a beggar. He obeyed, if I may use that word. He obeyed the Father, and the Father only, of course. He never acted upon man. But when this man cried out, he stopped at the cry of a beggar. I say again, the creator of this world, the creator of the universe, heeding, listening to, responding to the cry of this beggar. Why? He came into this world. He came to Jericho. Why did he come? We get the question again answered in Timothy, the verse I mentioned. He came into this world to save sinners. He came into this world to save sinners. He could have come in judgment. He could have come demanding. He could have come asserting his authority over our wicked world. But he didn't. He did not come to judge the world. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Do we appreciate, do we really understand the heart of God? It is not a heart of judgment. This is the lie of the devil. God would, the devil would say God is seeking to hold something back from you. It is the lie of the devil in the garden to deny the judgment of God, to turn away man from God, and claim that God is holding something back. There is no good thing that he will hold back from any. God's heart is a heart of love.
Mm.
And he sent his son into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And if he has come from those heights of glory, and if he has come from that majesty on high, so great and powerful a person, he has come in wonderful love, love to the helpless, love to the lost.
Mm.
You see it in Luke's gospel particularly, but we'll just concentrate on this little structure. He came to put away sin.
Mm-hmm.
Marvellous thing, he came to put away sin, and he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. In the Old Testament, there were sacrifices for sin. Sins of ignorance only, no deliberate sin, but there was a sacrifice for sin. It was a cost, but we might say it was a financial cost to the offerer. It was a lamb. It was an animal. But if the sin was really to be dealt with, if sin was to be dealt with, it had to be dealt with by the sacrifice of the man. The soul that sinned, it should die. But in our Lord Jesus Christ, we can see the wonderful way in which he came, not only into this world, not just to Jericho, the lowest part of this world, but from this moment in this gospel we see him going up, and we see him going up to Jerusalem, knowing all that would befall him there, knowing the hatred, the malice, the wickedness, knowing the judgment that would fall upon him on the cross. But he went there for the same reason which he came here, in love, to save.
Mm-hmm.
I say again, do we really understand the wonder, the fullness, the blessing, the love that is in the heart of God? Boundless, full and free.
Mm.
And the Lord, in wonderful grace, stops and waits. And he says to this man, or commands this man to be called to him. You know how often the world would seek to keep people away? Satan would certainly keep people away, occupied with so many other things, and if there is any determined effort to come, he will find some way perhaps to defer, to detain. But the Lord has commanded that he be brought.
Mm.
He commands that he be brought, and they brought him to him. And there is a simple question: what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? I wonder sometimes how we would answer. He's a blind man. He might say, guide dog would help, please. No. He doesn't ask for that which would alleviate or ease his circumstances, whatever they might be. He asks for a complete removal of the problem that he had, that I might receive my sight. What faith must have been in this man?
Yes.
To realize that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, but Jesus of Nazareth he recognizes as the son of David. And in the Old Testament scriptures we find that it's as son of David, is it Isaiah 35 or thereabouts, he gives sight to the blind. There are healings in the Old Testament, but no blind man is healed. No blind man in the Old Testament receives his sight. But here's a man who receives his sight. It is evidence that he is of the son of David. The man knew it, and he addresses him as son of David. And he had the faith to see him and recognize him for who he is. But that faith was in himself. And he asks, we might say, for the impossible. never been done before in the Old Testament. He asks for the impossible, but he gets more than he asks for. You know, I love that verse in Ephesians 3, isn't it? Able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Receive thy sight. Thy faith has saved thee. Receive thy sight. Have what you've asked for. But I'll give you something else. Thy faith has saved thee. I believe in that quite clearly. We have the forgiveness of sins. The vast crowd around here that would hinder him coming witnessed a wonderful miracle. They witnessed the fact that this blind man could now see. And yet they failed to see. This is why I say they were blind. They failed to see the resources. They failed to see the blessing, which was also open to them. And how many are there in this world today? We're content, we might say, as witnesses, to see things and watch things, but never enter into the joy and the blessing of them. Go through Luke's Gospel and you can find quite a few. There's the two Pharisees, two men that went up to pray. There's a thief on the cross, or the two thieves on the cross. One blessed, one not blessed. One a spectator, one a participator. But in this chapter we find, I say, hundreds who witness this wonderful miracle. And yet, they never asked for a blessing for themselves. Solemn thing, isn't it? They were blind. We live in a world where the gospel has been preached. We live in a land where the gospel has been preached tremendously, greatly blessed. How many have heard it and turned away? The blessing is available, but this man got it because he asked for it. Very simple, isn't it? He asked for it. And there has to be faith on the part of the hearer. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The testimony has gone out. This man knew the scriptures clearly in Isaiah 35 or whatever. The testimony has gone out, and he has faith in the scriptures. He recognizes the Lord. He sees that he is able to meet his need. And having met that need, he goes away blessed.
Yes.
But without faith, it's all of vain. Without faith, it means nothing. You know, one of the hymns I was looking at before this afternoon in the other book, we speak, isn't it, of the mercy of God. But what will it mean to your soul unless it is relied on by me? If there isn't faith in the word of God, there is nothing. And here is this vast multitude who miss the blessing because they don't want it. You know, in this man, there's one other thing I just want to draw attention to. Jesus came. Jesus called him. Jesus stood. But it says at the end, immediately he received his sight and followed him. He received his sight and followed him. This is a man who was responsive to the blessing he got. And if the blessing of God has come to us, there ought surely to be a response from our heart. And here is a man, I think, who could say, I say it simply, he has given me what I want. He has met my need. And he can meet my every need. The rest of the way home, he follows him in the way. He followed him in the way. That way was upwards still. That way was going up to Jerusalem. And in the midst of Jerusalem, we might say, with all the hatred and malice that was there, there was a soul here who had enjoyed the blessing of God and who followed, I believe, faithfully. Yes, there was a time when he was left alone. And I love to think of this man who followed Jesus. He followed the rejected Christ. He followed the suffering Christ. Until we hear no more of him. Surely this is the response that ought to be in each one of our hearts.
Amen.
If we have indeed received the blessing, it ought to be that change of life, the change of direction, no longer sitting by the wayside begging, but following Jesus in the way.
Mm.
And it says he glorified God. He glorified God. There was a pathway, there was a life that was dedicated to the Lord. And there was at the same time praise rising up to God. He glorified God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Wonderful thing, isn't it? To recognize again that there is that in our lives, that appreciation, that thankfulness, which is not only offered up to God privately, you might say, but in company with others, to be found in this world glorifying God.
Yeah.
Glorifying God for what he has done, what Christ has done. As a man, he has done it, but God gets the glory.
Mm.
Well, just a few words,
mm.
just a few simple words to refresh our hearts.
Mm.
But oh, may we know something more
mm.
of the wonderful heart of God, the love that has sent the Son,
mm.
the love that of the Lord who came into this world, and the diligence which will seek until he found it, until everyone who has been chosen in Christ will be brought home to glory in that wonderful day.
Mm.
Oh, the Lord bless his word.
Amen.
Amen. Perhaps we could close by singing number 95. Jesus, I am resting in the joy of what thou art. I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Thou hast bid me gaze upon thee, and thy beauty fills my soul. For by thy transforming power, thou hast made me whole. Jesus, I am resting. Resting in the joy of what thou art, I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. 95. O God, our Father, once again we give thanks to thee for thy present dispensation, this petition towards men. We marvel, gracious God, our Father, that thou shouldst still linger over man, however wicked he is, and thou dost still wait. Still linger, still long for souls to come to bless him. And we thank thee for any measure in which we ourselves have found out the blessedness of knowing thy loving heart.
Amen.
May we know it, may we learn it more and more, gracious God, our Father, as we seek in this world to follow Jesus in the way.
Amen.
We commend again to thee thy word as it has gone out in many places, and as it still goes out in other lands to the west. We pray, gracious God our Father, that thou yet bless thy word in the saving of many precious souls. In the meantime, we commend ourselves to thee as we separate.
Yes.
We thank thee for this time together. We thank thee for this the fellowship enjoyed, and we
Amen.
Seek again, gracious God our Father, thy blessing upon each one of us.
Amen.
And as the days in which we live. And we thank thee for those who labour here and those who seek to maintain a testimony to thy saving grace.
Amen.
And we just ask that they might each be encouraged and strengthened day by day, and that there might yet be seen those who are brought into blessing as a result of the testimony from this place.
Amen.
And each one to thee. We give thanks for one another, and we ask thy blessing to go with us now. We ask it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The hymn from which the preacher quoted while delivering his message runs as follows. We speak of the grace of our God, so boundless, so rich, and so free. But what will it profit thy soul, unless 'tis relied on by thee? We speak of salvation and love, by the Father in Jesus made known. But if thou wouldst live unto God, by faith thou must make it thine own. we speak of the Saviour's great name, by which God can sinners receive. Yet still art thou lost and undone, unless in that name thou believe. We speak of the blood of the Lamb, which frees from pollution and sin, but its virtues by thee must be proved, or thou wilt be ever unclean. We speak of the glory to come, of the heavens so bright and so fair, but unless thou in Jesus believe, thou wilt not, thou canst not be there. And if someone is interested in the rendering of the last verse of Luke 18, he followed Jesus in the way, you'll find the words "in the way" in the last verse of Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. May God bless this gospel preaching to all who listen to it.